This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
As we all know, Christianity rocks and always has. Unfortunately, representation of cool Christians in liberal secular media platforms has always been lacking. Aside from a Reverend Lovejoy here or a flying nun there, no one's had the nuts to bring our underrepresented people group to the silver screen and finally give social justice to white evangelicals that we deserve. That is no one until Brian Donnelly in 2004. Donnelly's movie, Saved! Always pronounced with an exclamation point, follows good Christian girl Mary as she tries to boink her boyfriend's gay away and becomes a future Mother Mary in the process. Following her through a private Christian school, the movie takes an eye to Christian high school dynamics, the taboos of divorce, and a Christian version of the plastics, which I think we just call small group leaders now, right? There were some mixed messages in the publicity rollout of the film. Producer and famous religion loser Michael Stipe described the film as, quote, like those monster vampire high school kind of movies, only here, the monsters are Jesus freak teenagers. Whereas co-writer Michael Urban insisted that the movie wasn't about Christian bashing, but rather about saying that examining what you believe makes your belief stronger. Donnelly also echoed the sentiment, claiming that he wanted to make a film for everyone. Been there, buddy, good luck. Including, quote, that one kid in the audience who's confused or scared or feeling left out. I think there are very few gay people who can say, I know in my heart that Jesus still loves me. I know it's a bit of a corny moment in the end of the movie, but that was so important for me to have that character say that. So I guess what I'm trying to say is...
Oh no.
There's a movie that stars Mandy Moore.
Slow one.
It's a film people like to watch over and over again.
Oh, wow.
About Christians, but not made by them. A lot of pauses.
Mm-hmm.
Which means there's an off chance that it's actually gonna be good. So I lay my butt back down. Ew. And I lift my remote and press play for this podcast. We watch Saved for this podcast and we'll give it a roast or a holy toast. So we watch Saved. We watch Save, and we're going to talk about it today on Good Christian Fun.
Now I'm going to say Kevin's a little bitch, and he's got a small ween and big nipples. Because I can.
Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline, and you're my good friend, Kevin.
And we're here to have some good Christian fun, and you're my good friend, Caroline.
Thank you. I'm sorry about what I said in the intro that you're going to erase.
What people don't know is Caroline always says I have to take that out of every intro. But Caroline, what is good Christian fun?
Good Christian fun is where we talk about Christian pop culture, things that Christians make, or that is about Christians, as you noticed maybe on the last few episodes, because we grew up Christian, and we don't know what to do with all the stuff we know about it, and all the pop culture that we consume, so we made a show.
So we made a show, but we're not here to make you go to church or to proselytize to you, and we're not here to bash either. We're like Ryan Danely. We want to make something for everybody and then kind of, you know, make a watered down product in the process, perhaps.
That's
we'll
right.
see. TBD. Now, Caroline, usually this is the part where I ask how your heart is.
Mm-hmm.
You ask me how my heart is. But let's do a little segment we call Store Up Treasures. Kevin and Caroline. Store up your treasures with Kevin and Caroline, where we go through listener mail that we've gotten. Guys, the competition is getting fierce out there.
We got some hot gifts today.
We got some hot, hot gifts. First of all, and you'll see all of them, I believe, in our episode picture that we'll post with the show. But friends, we got a cross stitch. We got a cross stitch of the logo. That's from listener Kate. So thank you, Katie,
thank
for the
cross
stitch.
Thank you, Katie. It looks very clean and
beautifully
good.
Rendered.
Put that felt in the back. It was a lovely piece.
And on the subject of cross stitches, Caitlin made us a cross stitch too.
Yeah.
I was getting the cross stitch memo.
Oh no, it was a cross stitch craze in this country.
Caroline asked, what's the deal with podcasts and cross stitches? And the literal answer is, I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, I think it's great. I love it. It's such a, but it's an interesting handicraft to make its way back into the zeitgeist, I guess.
Sure.
Because you've received quite a few over your podcasting career.
Oh, over the many, many years.
I guess it's a nice way to send a message. And you don't have to guess what t-shirt size they wear.
Yeah, and I always imagine people making them while listening to the thing they're making them about.
They're
right?
very nice.
Because it's a nice thing to like zone out and do.
Yeah.
We also got from a listener in New Zealand. Do you have a New Zealand accent?
Yeah.
Okay. We got a gift from a listener named Kelly. A
couple of bids.
In New Zealand. Okay, yeah. What do we get, Caroline?
We got a couple of bids.
What are they called?
Kiwi Bids.
And what's that listener's name?
Caitlin.
Kelly?
Kelly. Keely.
Keely.
Keely. All I know is when you do the eh sound, you actually turn it to eh. E to I.
So really what I want this to be, not only just to express gratitude and thanksgiving and praise to our listeners, what I want this segment to be is a benchmark. I want to pit the listeners against each other.
Oh.
Like you saw what Caitlin and Kelly and Keely and Kate did.
Keely.
Now it's time for you to step up to the plate. Email us at goodchristianfund@gmail.com. We'll give you an address, and then we'll wait about 2 to 3 months to pick it up because...
Because it's hard to get downtown.
Yeah. Well, the HeadGum Studio... Let's just say the HeadGum Studios are... They're as good as ventilating the studios as they are at paying us on time for the ads.
Oh, shoot.
So we like to record here. And Pasadena is so fun, as our guests may be able to attest to. So that's been... This week's segment.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Kevin, would you say one of your higher love languages is gifts?
For the purposes of this segment, it's my number one with a bullet. The
GCF as a podcast, if it was a being, its number one love language is words of affirmation in the form of reviews
That's right.
gifts. So, thanks, guys.
Kevin. It sounds like in Kevin. Store 'em up in Kevin.
Ugh.
So think about that phrase, up in Kevin. But enough dilly-dallying around. We got a special guest we need to introduce.
Yes!
And make her stop sitting through our bullshit.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, she's our Pasadena pal. You may know her from her podcast, The Big Ones, or The Complete Woman, or The Complete Wedding. Ladies and gentlemen, give it the hell up for Amanda Lund! Hello.
Oh my God, wow. Hi.
Hey, buddy.
This. Energy level.
Meet it. Meet it. Raise
Start
it.
Shouting.
Raise it.
I'm kidding.
This is crazy.
Do you like being attacked when you come and do a podcast a favor by guesting on it?
Okay. I feel like I'm on a real life radio show with these sound effects that are blasting into my ears.
Yeah.
This is sensory overload.
Wait, you don't have an annoying amount of sound drops on your various podcasts?
This is a very different vibration than from when I do my podcast.
It is. And I will say that Kevin brings a lot to the table and I appreciate it, but he is kind of a robo man in some ways.
It's a lot going on
over
there.
0-1-1.
In a good way.
On the big
Welcome.
Ones, you have substantial conversation and you get into the big questions of life.
Yes.
On here, we do Christian song parodies and make fart jokes about Michael W. Smith.
That's right.
I mean, it takes a level of preparation that I'm not used to, and I applaud it.
Yeah, that's a good point. It is a lot of prep work ahead of time.
Yeah, and some would say that we're ignoring the very benefits of podcasting, which is a low barrier for entry. Part of the benefits benefits are that, yeah, you can just kind of like show up and have a nice casual conversation, not get stressed over, wait, did I make that clip? Wait, did I do this?
Did I find the karaoke version of...
Of Only Hope by Mandy Moore that I can half-heartedly sing along to while the two people in the room just stare at me?
You were off book for that.
You were off book. I was thinking that this show could very quickly become a musical show, and that'd be fun.
A musical?
Maybe we'll do one very special episode.
And then get canceled by the HeadGum Network.
Yeah, they won't like that.
Well, Amanda, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you
for
coming. My pleasure.
Amanda is a Pasadena pal.
I am. This was so easy to get here.
I'm so glad.
Usually the first thing I ask guests when they get here is like, how was the drive? Sorry about that. We had a guest, Tawny Newsom, who came from Santa Monica to get here at 7 o'clock.
Oh.
Hauled all the way over here.
Bless
I know.
Her.
Bless her. And you took about, I want to say, 15 minutes?
Literally within the last 20 minutes, I was in my own home eating a steak.
Oh, what a life. That sounds great.
See, and this is why we need more Pasadena podcasters.
It's coming east. It's coming east.
You think
east.
So?
I really think.
Slowly but surely. Well, you have
this could be the
a network
Hollywood.
That you're starting, right?
Yeah, I'm starting a woman-run podcast network called Erios.
Mm-hmm.
You guys can Google that, and it's E-A-R-I-O-S, and it's we have a Kickstarter going right now. So, that should be launching, you know, I don't know how long it's going to take to build something like that, but...
TBD.
TBD, yeah.
Well, you got two supporters, right? Well, at least one supporter right here.
Yeah, I don't know if you're allowed to.
I don't want to pledge. I'm very wary of female leadership in every way imaginable.
Well, I support it.
By the way, I was thinking during the intro, imagine if this is someone's first episode. They're like, I love Amanda Lund. I'll check out a podcast she's on. And they don't understand that. Guys, I don't think evangelical Christians are underrepresented. I want that to be very clear.
Welcome to our far-right podcast.
Oh,
I think when they hear the music, they get the tone.
I hope so,
yeah,
right?
I think so.
We'll see. We'll see.
You have a sassy tone as well.
Well, and we have a fair amount of people that still write in who feel duped and tricked.
Mm-hmm.
This had the word Christian in it.
Yeah.
And you had swears in it.
And I see. Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
So that happens. And I feel bad about that because I truly don't want to trick anybody.
You file this under comedy?
We do. We don't put it under religion for
that
very reason.
I do like the idea of what they think they came for when they wanted just like clean Christian fun.
Like, oh, well.
Like a sincere, fun Christian show.
And the logo looks like that. Like it's all
I get it.
All the branding could be for, you know, a children's ministry at a mega church.
Oh yeah,
but it's for this podcast.
It's for adults only.
It's very unique.
Amanda, what is your background with faith, with religion, with God, things of that nature?
I grew up Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a Catholic school. I'm from Long Beach, California, so I went to St. Joseph's Elementary and Middle School. And my dad's family were Catholic. My mom would go to church with us, but she's kind of an introvert and really independent, so she doesn't really identify with groups.
Of any sort.
of any sort.
Not even your family.
Mm-mm.
Where two or more are gathered, your mom's out.
She's always doing her own thing.
Yeah, okay.
Great.
So I did go preschool through eighth grade. You know, I was very regularly attending mass and had a Catholic education. And then, in fact, high school, I went to public high school, and then I went to a Jesuit college. I went to Loyola Marymount University.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was that like?
It was great. I mean, actually... I will say that it being Jesuit was kind of, in my mind at the time, like a downside. I was like, I don't want to have to take boring religious classes because they make you take two during your time there. But actually, those religious classes were like my favorite classes.
Oh, really?
They were so interesting. I did one on Christianity and archaeology.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all about like...
Dead Sea Scrolls type stuff.
Okay. That stuff. Oh. And then one on women in Christian history, which, oh my God, is like the most interesting subject.
What's one thing that you remember really well from that class?
Okay, that they used to take, I forget when and where, but at some point someone in some community would take like pick one girl, one like 13-year-old from the community, and lock her in like a room on the outside of the church. And that's where she had to live her life because she would be like the almost like the town psychic. And now I forget what this was called. I have no other details other than I remember distinctly being like, oh, so they would pick a woman and like keep her in the church and people would come and like ask her questions like, hey, what should I do about this? Like, what's going to happen with the harvest this year?
So they like forced her to be that fortune telling lady like from oracle. Like the boardwalk in Big. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying? Like literally like a Madame Marie type.
Yeah.
Whoa. Grandmother Willow.
Yes.
That's so strange. I wonder if that was like a position of honor or slavery on some level, but I wonder if, you know, in that culture, it was like, wow.
I think that it was kind of an honor if
was
you were chosen.
Was this in medieval times, do you remember?
I think it was maybe right in the 80s.
Oh, no.
Now that it's coming back to me, I think it was like Arizona.
It was like Liberty University in the 80s.
A lot of like, should I invest in the .com stuff?
Enrod, is that going to go? Yeah.
They were good at
it. And should we bring it back? I guess that's the next question.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
But this time, make it a guy.
Ooh.
Because again,
a gender swap.
Culture, we have figured out if we objectified women too much, let's just do it to men and it'll
balance
out.
Let's lock all the men in a room, if you know what I'm saying.
Hey,
right?
Hey, lock them up. Lock them up. Start again.
Okay, so what was your like childhood experience with Catholicism or with the religious side?
It was always like, it was such a big part of my life in some ways, but also like not that important to me. Like, I mean, my family, even though we did go, I had to go to church every Thursday, and then every once in a while on Sundays, my family would go. But it just wasn't like that big of a part of my life, really. Like, I learned everything about it, but yeah, I was never fully a true believer, but I did get the guilt, the Catholic guilt. Mm-hmm. That was definitely instilled
in me. Has that carried over?
I've recently been doing a better job of letting it go, but yeah, as a kid, I really struggled with guilt. I'm not practicing anymore. I do still have like a soft spot for the tradition of Catholicism, and I think Mass is beautiful, but it's not something that I have in my life.
Yeah, they like step through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but growing up, it was a pretty strict Catholic school. We wore uniforms.
Was it like separated boys and girls, or were you guys?
It was together. Right, it was okay. Co-ed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we the principal was an ex-nun, a lot of the teachers there were nuns.
Oh, current nuns.
Kurt.
Run by an ex-nun.
One was like an almost nun, or she... Okay, this is the rumor.
We got an ex-nun. We got an almost nun. We got an already, but not yet nun.
They were like nun adjacent. but I had this one teacher named Miss Wright, and she was probably like 23, this really nervous nervous woman. And apparently my class that I was in, and it was the same like 30 kids... preschool through eighth grade, we were apparently the worst class that the school had ever seen.
Oh,
we
no.
just had a bunch of rebellious kids, and we were, you know, back talkers. And so apparently we drove Miss Wright into becoming a nun.
Oh,
fully.
Wow.
Because she was like, I can't. I need
handle
help.
It.
It's like the Catholic version of like men who join the army because their dads don't love them or respect them. Like, well, yeah. Go off to the military.
I'll never see them again.
She did that for nunnery.
Yeah, she did that.
She got thee
to
an army.
Did becoming a nun ever appeal to you at one point in your life?
Not.
That's a good question.
It had crossed my mind because growing up like that, it was always open as a career option. It was like, or you could become a nun.
Yeah.
And there were a couple kids in my class. It was like Michael Rice, like, oh my gosh, he's definitely going to go into the clergy and become a priest because he knew everything about the Bible. Mm-hmm. But I think he just like maybe did a bunch of drugs and I don't know what he does now.
Just good at memorizing.
Yeah, he was just good at memorizing. but yeah, I think now that I'm thinking about it, I did have, you know, pride in being a Catholic. And the reason why I know that is because I had a friend, my neighbor was a Christian, and she was my best friend, Michelle Shore. And I remember one time, her dad was like a pastor, like she was very, very Christian. She said to me, she was like, oh, you're Catholic, so you worship the saints. And I remember going, oh no, we pray through the saints. because we were taught in school that like Christians are going to tell you that you're not a Christian because you're a Catholic, and they're going to say that you worship saints, but we don't.
Oh, interesting.
That they geared you up for that misperception. Uh-huh.
And then I was able to use that line when Michelle Shore came out.
Ready,
at me.
Michelle.
You slam dunked it, and then you're like, I'm good. I think I topped out of Catholicism.
That's interesting, because I know we learned, maybe not so explicitly, we've talked about this a little bit before, but yeah, like Catholics aren't saved because they like go through the priest, and there's all these intercessors and stuff like that. Whereas if you're a true Christian, you go straight to the top, straight to Jesus.
Right.
And I just never knew that on the Catholic side, they were also preparing them for asshole Protestants who were like,
guys, listen,
coming at you.
We're all going to the beach. Some of us are taking side streets. Some of us are taking highways. Some of us are going through Malibu to get there.
Sometimes they're boogie boarding and we're already there. And that's me.
What does that mean? That you're already very connected with God?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're hanging loose. Hanging ten.
Well, Jesus did walk on water. What is that if not a precursor to surfing in some ways?
Wow. Mm. Dang.
He does have a surfer vibe.
Right?
He does have a surfer vibe.
If he was alive now, he'd live in Encinitas.
He'd be like a backpacker that went through Europe a couple times. And
would Jesus be?
Doesn't own anything.
A vlogger or an Instagram model?
Oh, I think he does like to talk a lot.
Yeah, I think vlogger.
He was always asking people to subscribe to the link above.
But now with Instagram TV, he could do it all.
Oh, mm-hmm, yeah. He could do a long form video. So maybe he'd transition to Insta TV.
Old Testament Facebook, New Testament,
and then
Instagram,
be like
TV.
There'd be like Jesus Con, you know, where your fans could come and he could do miracles.
Okay, so it sounds like you had a fairly positive experience growing up.
Yeah, definitely. You know, there were some. The school was strict, so I don't know if that was specifically connected with the Catholicism, but it was a lot of like, you can't, you know, wear your hair a certain way, and you can't wear makeup, and we had to do your skirt had to be a certain length, and
makeup,
and you know, during, you know, when you're an adolescent, you're breaking out, so they would literally, the principal would call girls, like randomly pick girls she thought might be wearing makeup, take them to the front of the classroom and swab their face with a Q-tip.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And
they were probably just trying to like cover up acne or something.
Yeah. And then one time I got, oh my gosh. So I used to wear my hair in like the Crazy Spice Girl buns because it was the only way I could express myself.
It was the only way. It just had to be.
Yeah, you have to find ways to be unique, you know?
Yeah. And so one time the principal pulled me into the library and she was like, why do you have to wear your hair like that? Why don't you? You should be more like Megan Wright. And Megan Wright was like this volleyball girl, like this really pretty volleyball girl who just always wore her hair in a ponytail. I also got a detention one time because Megan Wright, I know. I got a detention one time because during recess, I went into the bathroom and I was like brushing my hair, like primping in the bathroom, which was not allowed. And so the principal locked us in the bathroom. It was me and my friend Elisa. And
it made
then,
you tell fortunes.
That's right. Maybe that's why I connected to that.
Oh, yeah.
But it was my friend Elisa and I, we were primping in the mirror. And then one collateral damage, there was just like a random sixth grader in there. So she got locked in too. And she locked us in the bathroom for an hour. We missed our class. We were banging on the door screaming for help because we didn't know what had happened. And then the little sixth grader was screaming and crying.
Oh, no.
And finally, the principal let us out. And we were like, oh, why did you do this? And she took us again into the library and she gave us a detention. And on the reason why, it just said primping in the bathroom.
Been there.
It was like a vanity,
greed,
detention.
Envy, primping.
especially when you're that, because that's high school.
This was like 7th, 8th grade.
Oh, so okay. Yeah. So middle school. I remember in high school, one time I got sent to the bathroom. For the 2 years I went to public school, I got sent to the bathroom because I had hairs coming in on my face, and facial hair was against school policy.
At the public school?
Yeah.
So they made you go shave in the bathroom?
So they made me go shave with a razor, which I prefer an electric. So I'm just cutting up my face.
Oh, geez.
So bad. And it is so, and obviously I'm sure it's much worse at like 8th grade and when it's literally just primping, but.
Yeah, just like trying to brush. I remember a girl, like girls in my class, I think we were allowed to wear makeup, but maybe some of them by their parents weren't. And there was one girl that would wear clear mascara because it was like still mascara, but it wouldn't show, you know.
Right.
It was allowed, like, like a lot of lip gloss.
Oh yeah,
just nothing with color.
The loopholes, yeah, on the loopholes. Well, we're good. And
maybe there's an angle we can look at this. The nuns were very body positive forward. They wanted you to be natural.
I think that's what that they're is trying the wave to do. Of, you to know, be proud of your face, yeah, whatever state it's in.
Yeah. They were preparing you for the hashtag
like
no makeup
Megan
and
is.
The darling Insta challenges
that's
and all
true.
That jazz.
Maybe Miss Constantine was ahead of her time in that way.
Now she's an Instagram model now.
Oh, I know she's still around. Yeah.
Is she still at that school, do you think?
Oh, I'll have to ask my Aunt Christy, who is now a librarian there. Oh, but okay. I don't think she is. She's got to be like really old.
Man, that poor sixth grader. I'm thinking about that kid.
I know.
Did you guys did you become a small family in that hour? Like you're taking care of her?
That's like a bottle episode of a TV show.
I was, at one point we were thinking like, who are we going to kill for food? Because we don't know when we're getting out of here.
Look at the sixth grader.
She's looking
She looks
ripe.
Like a chicken wing. Nothing.
No. She's got her whole life ahead of her.
Now, where
I'm already 14.
Was this pre-Britney, post-Britney? Had that sent shockwaves through the school yet?
Because of
Oops,
her.
Oops, I did it again. Oh, or yeah. No, baby one more time.
Mm-hmm. So this was like, okay, so I was born in 86, so I'll let you guys do the math.
Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it was about Brit time.
It
Britney's
was bad
time.
About Britney yeah. time.
Because I wonder if that was just like, because I know what it was like from a homeschool male-in, but from a female.
Tell us what it was like.
It was like, oh, what a respectable young lady. She's somebody's daughter. I shall honor her and protect her.
I appreciate her expressing herself.
But from a female Catholic perspective, I wonder if it was just like, oh wow, we can do that, or like if it was like an awakening or something.
We were already rolling the skirts.
Yeah,
so the thing is, you'd roll them from the top a couple times, and then we had the little knee highs and the little white polo shirts, and sometimes we could wear shorts. Those were less flattering.
Kevin, stop asking her for more detail
and
on
then
how
what did
the.
You wear?
We also had cardigans, navy.
Oh,
whoa! Did you roll the sleeves?
Oh, baby. Okay, so mostly positive experience. I will say for like, and we've talked about this before, but when we have guests on the show, like it always is just like a grab bag of like different kinds of experiences and different kind of backgrounds and different kind of denominations and stuff. We definitely don't intend to have predominantly like negative or toxic experiences as far as like Catholicism goes. So it's good to hear that, you know, even though there's like bumps and ups and downs like we've all had, that it was at least somewhat positive, or you can look back on it with like a good amount of affection.
Yeah, like I think I got a good Catholic education, and I'm glad that I had sort of a base in religion, mm-hmm. you know, because I think it's a cool thing to know about. Mm-hmm. I do think it also kind of acted as a vaccine a little bit, where I do now in my adult life feel like, oh, I know about that. I experienced that. Like, I don't think I really need that right now. Although sometimes I do think if I have children, it could be cool to go to church every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. Like my family, they don't really go to church anymore.
Yeah, so it's not a part of your like family culture.
No, it's not. Yeah, no.
It is funny that, you know, for whatever the case may be, whether it's like church or faith or whatever, if you don't have family or friends around you that practice it, you can go just years without thinking about like, oh yeah. Oh, I used to do that.
Well, at least for us, you know, like it affected, you know, the kind of movies we saw and the way we dressed and mm-hmm. the kind of like friends we had or the jobs we had and stuff like that.
Totally.
So it was felt a little more prominent, I guess, than mm-hmm. our day-to-day life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks for sharing your experience. That was really cool.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah.
You passed. You did great.
I get to stay for the rest?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if it's a bad story, we tell
going.
People to leave.
There's room for
Can you imagine a podcast? That might be a good show if like the podcast has to prove their worth. And like, okay, I'm a good guest for this and this reason.
Yeah.
And they have to keep fighting for themselves.
Can you imagine how anxious you'd be listening to that too?
Yeah.
Or maybe it'd be fun.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It might be fun to be a bully for once. But you can stay. Let's dive in.
Come on, let's go.
Saved. So, did we all see this movie when it came out in the year 2004? You did not.
I didn't.
Caroline did not. You did?
Yes.
I remember seeing it a couple years after it came out. I remember, for whatever reason, I remember this like chunk of movies that came out between 2001 and 2004 or 5 when Ebert and Roper at the movies would review them on cable.
Oh,
on like local cable.
Yeah.
Because they would play the clips from them. and pre-YouTube and pre-all this stuff, that's the only time you could see like a clip from a movie before you saw it.
Did you watch all of that stuff, all of Ebert and Roper?
I was a regular for a while. I did have Roger Ebert's movie guide, year 2003. Thank you very much. But there's like certain scenes. Like I remember the clips they used from Vanilla Sky. I remember the clips they used from E Tu Mama Tambien. And I remember the clips that they used from Saved.
Oh.
And I remember Ebert having a pretty positive review of this movie.
Yeah.
So it came out 14 years ago.
I think I was potentially allowed to see this movie, but I didn't want to see this movie.
Ooh, because in your mind, it was making fun of Christians.
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah, I was like, this is the liberal media again trying to like misunderstand us on purpose, and they don't get it, and we're amazing, and they should be ashamed of themselves or something like that. Like, I just felt like, oh, this is going to be insulting. I'm not going to go see it. Although a little bit wanted to see it because Mandy Moore is such a star. She's just great.
She's the best.
I don't understand Mandy Moore's, or I don't remember, I should say, Mandy Moore's like cultural place. At the time that this movie comes out in 2004, like, who is Mandy Moore to us? A Walk to Remember had come out, so she's doing movies. She's put out some records.
Uh-huh. She's just, she's peaking, I think, at this point.
I think, well, I was going to say, is this her peak role?
I think it might be because this is, okay,
Walk to Remember is her peak role.
Well, that was significant to us, okay, but I think this is the movie where everyone's turned their heads and said, like, hey, wait a minute, Mandy, this girl's got chops.
By the way, you know who was originally cast in this movie and dropped out?
Oh, yeah.
Anne Hathaway.
That's right, oh, Anne Hathaway.
God.
They're kind of like dual stars in this time, because Anne was doing Princess Diaries, and I think they were both kind of, they had the corner on the market on like the kind of perfect hateable girl, or lovable, depending on how you played her, but just like a good girl.
It would have been a different take with Anne Hathaway. I'm glad it was more.
Mm. Me too. Yeah, I think she makes more sense.
Two teenage stars diverged in a yellow
I don't know how to explain Mandy Moore, because for me, I kind of didn't, she wasn't on the like top of my brain necessarily, but she was like Under the Current, a pretty big star at this point.
Yeah, and she was for sure the biggest star in this cast, and still 14 years later, I would say, is still the
Jenna Malone.
Jenna Malone's been in everything.
She's been in Hunger Games, but Mandy Moore is still more of a household name.
Yeah, I think culturally Mandy Moore is more of a household name. Top.
Yeah. I do think it's funny how Mandy Moore insists on singing in every movie she is in.
So you think this was her insisting?
It was in her writer.
Yeah, because she sings what, the opening credit song, she sings in Princess Diaries. Do you remember the beach song she sings with her mean friends? Kind of the same thing. Like, it's a trio.
Put it in your pocket.
No, it's Stupid Cupid. Stop kick. Stop that. Na, na, na.
Do you want me to give you a beat so you can do the whole thing?
Oh, Stupid Cupid. Yeah, that's it.
She does God Only Knows as a duet with Michael Stipe at the beginning of the movie.
She also sings in my favorite movie, Because I Said So. Have you guys seen this?
Because I Said So. That's one of those movies that, by the way, I wonder how many listeners are thinking of three different movies, because it's a rom-com title whose title is so vague. It could be Something's Gotta Give, As Good As It Gets,
As You
Because
Like It,
I Said So, As You Like It.
All great films, by the way. Funny. Yeah,
Because I Said So is Diane Keaton?
Diane Keaton, and it's about the mom, overbearing mother, trying to set up her lovably quirky, offbeat daughter, Mandy Moore.
Mm-hmm. There's Mandy's a love quirky triangle. In this movie?
Yeah, she has static cling. But it's basically,
so she has like socks on her the whole time?
Yeah, like her dress is always sticking to
like
her
a little
slip.
Frizzy.
Oh, brother.
Like at one point a balloon comes over and sticks to her, and
that's,
she's just like,
funny.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love popular culture's conception of like flawed
like
beauty.
Like a goofy woman.
What if literally one of the most beautiful people in the world had a pimple on her face?
And now it's like, ew.
Yeah,
no one would date her.
So, all right, and you know what? Mary Louise Parker's star has risen a good deal, I think, since this movie.
What is she in that's so big?
Well, Weeds, which was the show she did on Showtime for like 8 or 9 years, and the director of this movie became like a regular series director on. And Martin Donovan, who plays Cool Pastor in this movie, was also a recurring role on that show. So this is like a Weeds pre-pilot.
Wow. Okay.
Like they all met. But it is even strange, in 2004, post West Wing, post Fried Green Tomatoes, that Mary Louise Parker is essentially like a bit part. Yeah. She has like four scenes in the whole
thing. Yeah. It's a pretty meaty role, though, I'd say.
She does a lot with a little.
Mm-hmm. She's interesting. Sure. She's one of the more conflicted characters in the movie. Like, yeah. But you just like her.
How would you summarize this movie, Caroline?
This is a movie set in a private Protestant Christian school.
American Eagle.
Uh-huh. Called American Eagle. So funny. And it is about a group of popular teens who are figuring out their faith, and some are legalistic and some are making mistakes and reconciling it.
What I was struck by this movie is how, when I saw it first, whenever I saw it back in the mid-2000s, I was kind of like Caroline, where I had a little bit of hostility, or I had like my fist up, like, okay, let's do this. And I have this weird sense memory of disliking it a little bit, or thinking like, that wasn't very good. Not hating it and thinking like, right, oh, Christians are getting persecuted once again. Yeah. But just like having this sense memory of like, I didn't like it, or that wasn't mm-hmm. that good, or that wasn't that funny. And now watching it, there's things in this movie that I think have aged really poorly. And I think there's some things that are so forward thinking in it that it's kind of crazy.
We
should say it, like, this is a pretty queer movie. The director is gay.
Yeah, I didn't see it coming.
There's gay characters, gay main characters in it. Her boyfriend, who she has sex with to make him less gay, who looks like Logan Paul at the beginning
of
the movie.
Yes, he does
look
like Logan Paul. Oh my gosh.
And they send him away to a Mike Pence camp called Sacred Heart or something like that to make him less gay. But especially by the denouement of the movie, there's so many messages in it that I find to be a lot more applicable and more relevant in 2018 than in 2004. Even the idea of like gay conversion camps. There's two movies coming out this year about this very topic.
Yeah.
The Miseducation of Cameron Post, the Chloe mm-hmm. Grace Moretz movie, mm-hmm. and a movie called Boy Erased, where Russell Crowe plays a pastor, Nicole Kidman's his wife, Lucas Hedges is their son, and he goes off to a similar camp.
Wow.
Yeah, it's interesting. I wonder if there'll be a lot more like post-evangelical movies coming out like that, because we're kind of still coming out of the period of like the early 2000s where this culture was maybe at its peak. Mm-hmm. It still exists in a lot of ways, but it's sort of on a decline. So
yeah, well, as far as like the mega churches and like Harvest Fest or whatever that was.
Yeah, sure. Being super anti-gay and being all about that.
Did evangelical popular culture peak at the same time that Mandy Moore's acting career did?
Is there a
link?
Well, it's having a resurgence now.
She's on her way. She's found a happy place.
I feel like she's
a real prize winner now. Everyone loves her.
Yeah.
Is she the best part of that show?
I haven't seen it, I feel destined to become friends with Mandy Moore.
How's that?
I always have. She was I loved her growing up. I loved her music. Yeah. I loved this movie growing up. Mm-hmm. It got me at just the right time. I was like basically the age of the kids in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
So I just have always loved Mandy Moore. She just seems like a really solid chick. And when she was married to Ryan Adams, I really felt like there's a side of this girl that is down.
And her album right after was pretty good.
Yeah.
Like the post Adams Mandy Moore album, not so bad.
Yeah, and now she's finding, okay, and then also we almost got to do a pilot together. I tested for a pilot that she ended up starring in, but I didn't end up doing it. I did something else instead, but I thought, wow, that was my chance. I missed it, but it's going to come back around. And now we're circling in on each other. In fact, she lives in Pasadena.
Does she really?
And my friend designed her house. So there is. I'm so close. So I have been circling the neighborhood just waiting for her.
Yeah, just being like, oh, I needed to drop off a couch from my friend.
Wait, Amanda's going to pretend to be a moving company worker?
Yeah, just like, you know, kind of a courier.
Don't mind me. I'm moving the couch.
She's like, there's no couch here.
I didn't order a couch.
Well, it's coming.
Please leave.
Well, that's my side job. I'm also an actress. And that's how you kind of work into it. Yeah, and then you both are becoming best friends.
8 years ago, we almost crossed paths. I'm not crazy.
this isn't outrageous. No.
Listen, my favorite kind of celebrity is a Pasadena resident celebrity.
Amen.
Talking your wigs, talking your streeps.
I think it's only the good ones that come out here.
It's the cream of the crop.
It is the cream.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we established that template.
They're settled. They're secure. They don't need to be so much in the mix.
No.
They appreciate culture.
Exactly. And they appreciate a healthy distance, but not too distant.
Yeah.
Listen, they're still within the
there's
LA county.
Kooky in there.
Yeah, I want to play Mandy Moore's intro in this movie.
Hillary Faye seemed to have a spiritual solution for every problem.
Christian girls have got to know how to protect themselves. I mean, sure, Jesus could restore my physical and spiritual virginity, especially if I lost it to some rapist, but who wants that? I'm saving myself until marriage, and I'll use force if necessary.
Damn, she shoots him
just
the stick.
A gunshot.
She's
she shoots
so
Jenna
good.
Malone. Yeah.
She's good.
She's awesome.
She's ham. She's a ham sandwich, yeah. But it's good. You know, it's, she's playing it up.
She hits the right tone. It's very reminiscent of like Heathers and,
yes,
you know, I
yeah.
think a precursor to Mean Girls. Uh-huh. So I
it,
actually
it came out kind of 3 weeks after too. Mean Girls.
After?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because it was 2004.
Wait, it was after Mean
yeah.
Girls?
Like by
that
weeks.
Seems so off.
By
oh my
weeks.
God, it seems before Mean Girls.
Yeah. I think Mean Girls like ensconce in stone existing teen movie templates like your Heathers and like your movies of the 80s and like those tropes, like Mean Girls like solidified the plastics and like that sort
yeah.
of thing and the kind of Regina George archetypes.
Yeah.
Because overall this movie is like looking back on it, there's things that I think are technically not good about it. Like I think the production design is not good. Like it seems like they used the same warehouse for 5 different sets. They shot in Vancouver. The budget was like 5 mil. And it seems to be our first secular movie that seems to have the same production values cast aside as a Christian movie.
Yeah,
like this could be
wrong.
A pure flicks joint, right?
Yeah,
like it's very
shot in a mall.
Yeah, it's very low budget. But that being said, because it's cast so well, what did you guys think of Macaulay Culkin in this movie?
Love Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah?
So
sexy.
Hot, right?
Yeah, so
yeah.
hot.
You got
oh my
why
God.
Him and Kunis dated for 7 years.
All I wanted was to watch him kiss Cassie.
Mm-hmm.
And I their relationship actually was my favorite part of this movie. And something I couldn't get enough of. Like, I would have been fine if we just spent a lot of time with them.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I loved that.
Well, and that seemed to be like a little microcosm of what happens over time in a lot of evangelical Christian circles, where it's like you all meet in roughly the same place, whether it's like youth group or your church or like even college or post-college. And then the ones that are kind of like the outcasts or the misfits and freaks end up kind of magnetizing towards
yeah,
each other.
Yeah.
And those are the people that like whose relationship, at least in our experience, those are the relationships that seem more durable. So it's
yeah.
kind of a lovely microcosm of
well
that.
It's like tough mentally if you're in that culture to be the one against it and to be the Cassie or be the Roland. And so in some ways they're probably more, well, they're obviously more mature than a lot of the people around them, because their morals and their culture basically comes from like respecting and not being legalistic and not being about popularity or performing their Christianity or whatever. They don't have to worry about that. And so they're kind of like, they become the adults of this movie after a while, and they're like taking care of Mary and taking care of Hillary Faye at the end of the movie, and they're like our examples at the end, which is pretty great.
And looking at some Christian reviews of this movie, that's what Christians loved the most about it.
Oh, really?
That's how the non-Christians became like the moral leaders.
Yeah,
the
or even the boyfriend who's gay, like he is the one that also like goes off on the pastor.
And he's so sweet. He's like so excited when he sees that she's pregnant. He's got like such a positive reaction.
Yeah,
it's lovely.
So kind.
Yeah.
Caroline, as a girl who grew up in a lot of this church culture, how much of this movie rang true to you?
Yeah, because I went to a Christian school, a private Christian school too. So we didn't have uniforms, but you know, this was my life in some ways. I'm glad I didn't see this as a teenager, because I think I would have been even more upset about the exaggeration, you know, because watching it now, I was like, well, that would never happen. They would never do Jesus Christ Superstar. Way too sexy, way too irreverent, you know, and let alone wear that guy wear like a diaper, you know, on the cross.
I don't know about that.
And
because
then Hillary Faye, like her midriff showing while she's singing her worship song, and be like, nope, she'd have like 3 tanks underneath there. Like
I might disagree about the male shirtlessness and the Christ, because for whatever reason, a female objectification or any sort of like sexualization of a female body is always like shunned against or protected, or we got to cover up our daughters. But men just run around with their shirts off at youth group and church camp and mission trips and stuff.
Camp, yes, not youth group or church or school.
I find, though, that generally there's less mind paid to the
idea. Well,
like,
they assume
they
girls
put on
are
a
like
play,
neutral sexually.
Yeah. Yeah, whereas men, it's like, well, who's going to lust after a man?
You can't tempt the boys. I mean, that's what it's all about, right, is covering the girls.
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
So the boys aren't tempted to misbehave.
Yeah, so I think I would say some of it is correct, like the way... The way like Mary misinterprets like God's word is funny. The way the kids are really concerned about being black and white and having the right answer, like that's probably pretty right. But I would say actually no one, at least in my experience, was this mean at all. Like if you were this mean, you were ostracized, or you were like not the cool kid or the popular kid. Mm-hmm. Like Hillary Faye would not have been the person that everyone would be gravitating toward. Probably they'd be gravitating towards like Mary and the skateboard dude or whatever, you know.
Sure. I think there's certain things in it for me. Like, I remember, for whatever reason, there was, from my generation of youth group, maybe like 4 or 5 girls who became single mothers during that time.
Oh,
because
my gosh.
Of a lack of good sex education.
Yeah, that's actually pretty real. Because a lot of Christian kids, yeah, didn't get good sex education, and then also don't have condoms like available, or they're not on birth control because they're not supposed to be having sex anyway. And so more often than not, that's just like what happens. And yeah, we had a few in my class too.
There's a few little pops in the movie too that are so succinct. Like when Mandy Moore is talking about the fictionalized Christian band on the radio.
Oh yeah.
It sounds like some of our friends talking about like Reliant Care Switchfoot.
Yeah. And here's the latest from Godflight.
Oh, I love these guys. They are totally Jesus-centric and gorgeous.
That's John Foreman. That's Matt Thiessen.
Yeah. Jars of Clay was the band that my Christian friend Michelle Shore was really into.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah. Oh,
Jesus-centric and cool.
Those boys.
And hot.
Or even the little pop they get on international missions and adoption stuff. I thought was really interesting.
Veronica was adopted by her parents when they were missionaries in Vietnam. Hillary Faye sees her as an example of God's will triumphing over a savage, godless nation.
The adoption fetish.
So, what do you think of the new ride?
Oh, you're so lucky, Hillary Faye. Yeah, I could have had a Lexus Gold Edition, you know?
Wow. Roland is blessed with such a thoughtful sister. In
such
countries like China,
sister.
Hillary Faye probably would have been killed at birth.
Oh my god. This movie is so funny. But yeah, that's a real thing too, of assuming like adopted kids have been saved, you know, from their non-Christian life or whatever, or from poverty or something. And in some case, maybe they were, but of course, it also means like they were maybe ripped from their culture. Or we don't know. Maybe they were sold. Like the Christian adoption world got real messed up after a while.
Wow.
Yeah. One part that I thought was really profound in this movie, although it was kind of stupid, is when they are trying to do an exorcism on Mary, and then
when they shove her in the van, they surprise attack her.
Scary. Yeah, and then she throws her Bible at Mary's back, and she's like,
"Filled with Christ's love."
Yeah,
that's one of those lines that's imprinted on me from seeing
all the
trailers.
That was in the trailer, right?
Yeah.
And then Mary turns around and holds up the Bible and said, "This is not a weapon."
Yeah, that's iconic, that moment.
Oh, I was like, wow.
Yeah, that was a good moment. I remember when I first saw this movie, I watched it and thought like, oh, haha, like this movie's making fun of Christians. And then this time rewatching it, I was like, this is, to me, seems like a really well-rounded movie. I think like kind of portraying the different types of Christianity and the message that like we should be living in this gray area and not seeing things in black and white. I don't know how it felt to you guys, but to me it felt like a really good message about Christianity.
I had the exact same kind of transition between the two viewings because it did feel a lot more hostile the first time than it did the second time, because the first time I would probably have joined in with cool pastor and all those guys are like, well, it's not that blah blah blah, like you can't,
it's not biblical,
and I promise you it probably offended me with the wisdom of a 14-year-old boy to see a gay guy say, I know Jesus loves me. It probably offended me,
right?
And now it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe anyone would find this offensive.
I think
offensive.
If I was another kind of Christian, I would not think so. But because of where I'm at now, I'm like, yeah, this was actually very like pro-faith, because Mary's faith is kind of like the example that you're following toward the end. And you see how she lives in the gray area and realizes like mistakes are made and you have to reconcile this because you can't just hate yourself, you know? And so there must be something good in this.
And Patrick Fugit, too. Fugit, Fugit. It's probably not Fugit. Do you think his last name's Fugit? He's cool pastor's kid.
I had a kid in my high school named Fugit. Oh, yeah, him.
Almost famous.
He was like the best Christian. I mean, that was like the Christian you should want to be, right?
I guess so.
Well, he's chill. He has a Vespa.
Yeah.
And Vespas are cool.
Yeah, that was a great moment, too. When he was like, this isn't a scooter.
Oh, yeah, it's a Vespa.
Oh, he did his own driving. You can see. He's not Tom Cruise in this movie.
He's really hot. At first, when he came on the scene, I was like, I don't know about this kid. And then when I saw him as shirtless Jesus, I was like, look at that. That's some body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like 16.
Yeah.
Good. Looking good.
Did he look like a Jesus Christ super snack to you?
Yes.
And he's charming, you know, and he's like persistent in like a nice way, you know, not in like an aggressive, scary way, you know.
I loved that relationship.
Are you done dating Jesus on Friday? You know, I thought that was cute.
And I think part of our kind of more binary reactions to it when we were younger and we saw this movie might have something to do with the fact that there are some things tonally in this movie that I think are kind of all over the place. Like at some points, there's like 30 Rock jokes, like absurd farcical jokes. Right. Like Cool Pastor does a backflip onto the stage,
which cracked me up.
I loved, and that's the best.
That is pretty real. Actually, the way all of the slang he uses is dead on.
Give it up the Lord Jesus is in the house. Let's get our Christ on. Let's kick it Jesus style. Y'all want to walk with the ultimate rebel?
Yes.
Right? The ultimate CEO?
Yeah.
Biggest celebrity of them all? Who's down with G-O-D?
Down with the G-O-D, that's right!
All right! Jesus rules! Jesus rules! Jesus rules!
It's so funny how 2004 stuff reminds me so much of 90s stuff.
Yeah, I know. I get them mixed up.
But with the secular movie doing Christian culture, this happening in 2004 is probably dead on.
Yeah, well, this is dead on. I don't think this is very exaggerated, but also it plays into, like, of course his references are like kind of dated already. Like, he's a dork, and so he's like saying fat and like, let's get jiggy with God.
Yeah, in 2004, because if this does feel like a exaggeration to anybody listening who may not be familiar with certain pastors or like cool or hip pastors, I do want to play a clip of a pastor named Rich Wilkerson Jr., who preaches at a church in Orlando, Florida. And this is from Vic Berger's video, Justin Bieber's Hip Pastors.
I want to preach a message to you simply titled, Bringing Sexy Back. Bringing Sexy Back. And sexy is a woman of God. Sexy is a man of God. Sexy is a pure relationship. Sexy is a marriage that lasts, man. Sexy is walking in God's plan of purity.
So, not far off.
No, that's
not
nothing sexy about that.
No, it's just using cool.
You're not turned on by pure relationships?
It's just like he thinks he's cool because he's using the word sexy.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. And like, he literally pauses too as if we're all going to like, yes.
Oh, they're talking about sex.
S word.
It's such a, it's almost like a trope of a pastoral move now. Like we're going to get hot in church. Oh, I forgot that is. Yeah. I reverse your expectation or whatever the case may be.
Right. Yeah.
I remember there being billboards in Dallas of, I want to say his name was Ed Young, and he was doing like sex and marriage. Ooh, people say you shouldn't talk about sex in church, but we're gonna. In marriage, that is.
Right,
and it's always like, whoa.
The holy covenant.
Yeah, so, and I thought the actor playing the pastor in this movie was very funny, Martin Donovan.
Mm-hmm.
And he ends up having an affair with Mary Louise Parker and cheating on his wife.
That part's kind of heartbreaking, too. The part where he's in the closet talking to Mary Louise and saying,
you are so blinded by this that you can't even see it. Let me spell it out to you. God is punishing us for our sin by getting our attention through Mary.
That doesn't even make sense.
And the longer we lived in sin, the worse things got for her. And what's worse is we're not spiritually right with the Lord, and we are not fit to help her.
Which people really do believe.
Yeah, yeah, it was sad. This might be an unpopular opinion. I'm diverging away, but Patrick and Mary's love story could have done without it. I kind of would have liked to see Mary just like end up being just fine.
I think she does end up being just fine because at the
without
end,
him. Like I didn't need her to have a love interest to like counteract her lack of appeal or her gay boyfriend.
Sure. I get that. I do like that it ends with a community at the hospital bed.
Yeah, rather than just like together.
And then the man showed up and it's going to be okay because he'll raise the baby.
Yeah, and they'll walk off on Ian.
Yeah, I also appreciated that in the end the pastor is torn whether or not, and he's left as a question mark. Like, not everyone's coming around.
Did he
buy
in or not?
And the mom, I liked the mom's arc a lot of in the end, she like, that wasn't necessarily going to work out for her to be with the pastor, but now she's going to, you know, help her daughter raise this
really
kid.
Yeah, really, like, no, I'm not going to send her to a rehab facility or whatever.
A Christian interior decorator.
She was the number one.
Number one with a bullet.
I loved the, did you see when she was typing in something on Ask Jeeves? Oh, she's typed in gay.
Gay? Question mark.
Oh, that was amazing.
That was awesome.
Well, and I appreciate this movie too in that it seems predominantly female led. I don't think of this as like, you know, the guys and the girls in the movie. It's like the supporting cast seems like men. And that does seem to be like another... Listen, I bet when Brian made the movie, he wasn't a father of daughters. He still found a way to empathize with them. And still figured out a way to, you know, have...
There's such great women in this movie. They're all so different.
Yeah, and that seems like probably to be a feature of gay storytelling, too. To be able to, like, place yourself in these different roles and these different characters. Did you guys like the scene where she starts speaking in tongues?
Hallelujah! Bear witness! She's speaking God's love language, folks!
Oh my God! The Jew girl speaking in tongues!
The Jew girl. Oh my gosh.
There's so many like made for Tumblr lines in this movie, like tweetable, gifable lines.
I'm so glad you're here, Amanda, because I think we could have a long conversation about the style in this movie.
Oh my God.
And the hair.
The pants
are
so low.
What was wrong with it?
Oh,
I liked it. What was wrong with it?
It's just so of the moment in a great way. Yeah, pants are so low.
Oh my God.
Boot cut, all of them.
And like, just the moment where the girl's thong is outside of her leather pants at in the mall scene.
Yes.
And the hair, I basically had Mandy Moore's haircut. Like, that was my high school look. Yeah, the really like short layer on top.
Yes.
It was like a 3-inch layer on the top of your head.
I didn't remember that being a hairstyle, but I definitely had Mary's hairstyle, which was short and extremely flipped out for some
cute
reason.
Yeah, that's a cute look.
Why was that cute? I don't know.
It was something.
I thought everyone looked great.
Oh, they do look great. That's the thing. When it's all coming around. And then Cassie, who's got like this short, blunt hair and all this eyeliner. And then when she wears a suit to prom.
Well, that was interesting because that was so Mean Girls. Janice.
Yes, so Janice.
From Mean Girls.
And her hair slicked down.
So close to each other.
I wish I had worn a suit to prom. I know at the time I would have thought that was like the ugliest thing ever. And I just wanted to be girly. But man, it looked so cool.
I do think, though, it is interesting that this came out after Mean Girls. Because this is kind of like low budget Mean Girls.
It is low budget Mean Girls.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, she's part of the posse and she gets kicked out. And
the Christian Jewels, is that the name of the
Yes, the Christian
group?
Jewels, yeah, the instead Christian, of the Plastics.
And you had no experience with any sort of like Christian girl gangs like that, correct? Because I sure did.
Are you talking to me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
I just had a memory because after my sister left my poor sister, so she got bullied at the Catholic school we went to. So she switched to this Christian school in Orange County, and she got bullied in that school even worse because she wore a choker that had a fairy on it. And the Christian kids, they made fun of her and said, like, that's not right.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
So fairies are like anti-Christianity, right?
Yeah, because they're...
Are they?
I think so. Yeah, I guess they're just like, they don't exist. And
it's like wizards, like how some Christians don't like Harry Potter.
Like, that's not the real spiritual
talking
world.
Lines don't exist either, guys. But we were all fine
fairies.
With that.
Or maybe they thought she was like new agey or something.
I don't know what it was, but they were like, oh, a fairy alert.
Fairy alert.
I remember, oh man, I have such vivid memories of like the fairy girls in my Christian private school because it was at Lyndale Assembly of God, and there was like maybe four or five girls who would wear the chokers and the fairies and the stuff.
That's awesome.
And had like this different kind of eyeliner. But
they weren't so much pastel eyeshadow, like that frosty look that Mandy wears.
Yes, it's so good. It's so good.
Lime green.
Here's one thing I did want from the movie a little bit more is more like contemporary Christian specifics, because they did get there at some lines in the movie, like when she says,
"She made me listen to the entire Elms CD on her iPod."
Oh yeah.
And the Elms is a Christian rock band from the 90s, 2000s.
That's so funny.
Fun fact, they were supposed to play the prom in the movie.
Oh, this was the band. Yeah.
And then days before, they put out this release on their website, and they're like, "Well, we found out that this movie's actually bad, so we're not going to be in it because it has stuff in it that we can't stand for."
I'm sure it was the
pro-gay
message, actually.
Oh, my gosh.
1,000%. Because what in this movie?
Not that they were making fun of Christians. I'm sure that wasn't even a big deal. Yeah.
Because, so was this advertised, this film, like as a pro-Christian movie or no?
I don't think so. Like, I remember the marketing being like, haha.
Yeah, I think it was pretty clear, like, Christians are the assholes in this, and this is like a satire in some ways.
Yeah, that Mandy Moore is a Christian bully. Mm-hmm. Which is also the title Christian of this podcast.
Bully.
Welcome to Christian Bullies.
Two Christian bullies.
Yeah, no, it wasn't like a gotcha at all. It wasn't like people were walking in expecting like a fireproof or a left
behind.
So
it wasn't like this podcast.
Exactly. They did not trick anybody.
Let's see all these kids get saved.
But I do want to kind of skipping ahead to the end, where again another classic teen kind of high school movie trope. Mm-hmm. The big climax is at prom. That's where Jenna Malone's water breaks, and then she has a baby overnight, and Mandy Moore decapitates the big Jesus statue, and then her ex-boyfriend comes back from camp, and he's talking to the pastor.
So
everything that doesn't fit into some stupid idea of what you think God wants, you just try to hide or fix or get rid of? It's just all too much to live up to. No one fits in 100% of the time. Not even you.
I know that, Mary. I know in my heart that Jesus still loves me.
Why would God make us all so different if he wanted us to be the same?
It's so funny trying to remember having like a bad reaction to that. Like,
right.
No, he shouldn't have said that. Or like she shouldn't have said
that. Well, you could argue with that. I think I would have said at the time, like, yeah, sure, that sounds nice, but that's a slippery slope into just doing whatever you want and saying you're still a Christian.
Does that mean God loves it if I want to have sex with a horse? Like, if it feels like all of one piece with those conservative arguments.
Sure.
Which brings us to the following segment.
Plug it in, plug it in.
Oh, no.
Plug it in, plug it in. PluggedIn.com. PluggedIn.com is an extension of the very conservative, borderline, evil, hateful organization focused on the family.
FOF.
And they would do movie reviews, and they'd break it down the, you know, positive elements, negative elements, spiritual elements, the amount of profanity, the amount of sexual content.
It was mostly fodder for parents if they, like, didn't want them to see Mulan, you know, because there's
was
spirits
Mulan not
in
okay?
It. Well, yeah, there's ghosts. And ancients.
Oh, shit.
And
dragons.
Women in the military, which...
And women in the military.
And cross-dressing.
My pets do not like... Yeah, cross-dressing. A lot of problems.
A friend of mine didn't like either.
What friend of yours?
Do you remember I told you about a friend of mine who said, I think women in the military is an abomination?
Oh, jeez.
And I saw that Mike Pence thing. I texted Tim and said, I thought of you!
Kevin, you're such a little...
He did not respond.
Little troll.
And this is a friend.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't hung out in a couple months.
Oh, my gosh.
He might listen to this. We'll see. He used
to.
There
was a recent post, by the way, for those who don't know, that's resurfaced. Mike Pence, like, used to have a blog, I guess.
Mulan is bad.
Yeah, and it was the whole thing about, like, I want to see Mulan with my daughters, and I can't believe, like, they would do this. And you can just tell how it doesn't work when you have women in the military. And for example, in real life, you know, all these women got molested when you do it. So it just doesn't work.
She did fall in love with her commander.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's just not respecting military code. That's the least Christian thing imaginable.
Right, right.
She saved China.
She did save China, so...
So the plugged-in review.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
I won't read all the, like, they break it down. They break down all the content and all the, you know, like, the profanity and stuff. Who cares? Although they did at one point say... other negative elements. At one point, the pastor's speaking, and they play a direct quote, racy rap tune. Whoomp, there it is.
Oh
during his speech.
Oh my God.
So if that gives you kind of a barometer.
It's still like coded racist a little bit. Yeah. You know, like, oh, it's got to be racist.
I think all rap was bad until Lecrae to these people. Okay, so this is kind of their summary, but I think this will shed light on, and a lot of what we found in research was probably a predominant Christian reaction to this movie because it was not embraced by the Christian community. Growing up, director and screenwriter Brian Dannehy attended Catholic elementary school, Baptist high school, blah, 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 blah. That explains why his movie feels like a personal attack. It is personal. Dannehy claims that Save presents authentic Christian teens who make poor choices, have a crisis of faith, seek answers, and ultimately emerge with a genuine faith made strong through the fire of life. But what Dannehy considers genuine faith is expressed on screen as nothing more than feel-good, wishy-washy pluralism. Star Jenna Malone is more accurate when she defines her character's journey as breaking down a faith. After having a baby surrounded by everyone in the movie who can't seem to stand Christians, Mary acknowledges that life is too amazing to be random and meaningless. But she's not about to begin embracing Jesus again. The implications are clear. There has to be a God, she says, but the Bible isn't the way to find him. You just have to feel it. What values and beliefs do the filmmakers hope viewers will walk away with after watching Saved? Co-star Eva Amuri says, I think no matter what religion you are, you have to learn to adapt to the world today. It's about how you take these morals imposed on you by certain religions and transpose that onto what you're experiencing in everyday life. Mandy Moore said, it's about discovering who you are and what you believe in. It's about tolerance, acceptance, and diversity. Brian Dannehy says, loosen the leash, buy a bigger needle. The danger can be that the road is really narrow. Not everyone can walk in. And if you don't live up to certain biblical standards, you risk being left behind, alone, and alienated. Michael Stipe says the reason his company agreed to do the film is because it's one of the more funny, audacious, subversive scripts he had seen for some time. My personal belief is that Christianity and spirituality in general need a bit of a push into the 21st century, particularly from the point of view of the teenager, he says. If, after being pushed, the result looks like Cassandra, Roland, or Mary, Christians would do well to sit tight and refuse to be budged.
Wow.
Isn't that telling? That's
Jeez,
it.
Jeez, that's awful.
That's the whole, and we talked about this last week a little bit.
Gosh.
But focus on the family being one of the primary cultural forces framing this war. Like, you are under attack as a white person in America, as a white Christian in America, as an evangelica.
Being forced to have pluralism and to be accepting
what's
and tolerant.
Pluralism?
Basically, like, all religions are valid.
I see.
And
I
we're
see.
All a part of it together, basically.
Just the idea that in a pluralistic society, that there's not
a right
state
one.
Or nationally mandated religion or thought process or
which
belief
is what America
system.
Is supposed to be.
Right.
Church and state was so that the government could not impose that on people.
Right.
Not that they could. So the whole thing is so jacked up, but I feel like this is such a like a good insight and easy tell for like why this stuff is threatening. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, mm-hmm. Michael Stipe, by the way, and I know his like zombies quote was kind of, which at one point the director was like, I think that's a little too far. What I'm trying to do is this. And I know he can be colorful, but Stipe saying, I think Christianity and spirituality need a push into the 21st century, being like this hair ripping out idea. What are we gonna do?
F you.
Right?
Yeah.
Like that is so threatening.
I know that you'd be like, don't budge.
Yeah. It's so
crazy.
So funny.
But that's the kind of weird like warp that happens sometimes when you're a Christian. You assume like, well, it's this way and it's always been this way. We just gotta hold the line, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of religions that have a tradition aspect to it maybe feel that way. When you forget that traditions were formed at a different time and that they've just stuck around, you know?
Yeah, I was thinking about what you say, or we had a conversation about a recent sermon I heard at a church about women and just kind of like how those pastors framed, well, we've always been saying this about women and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Like, it always is that. Like, whenever culture catches up to you to the point where your belief system is untenable or barbaric, you just kind of reframe it. I was like, yeah.
We've always valued women.
Oh my gosh. Jesus
gave so much dignity
Jesus
to women.
Loved
which
women.
He did, but it's like, but you didn't.
Yeah, well, that's the thing about the Bible so big and long. You can kind of cherry pick and to support
you
whatever.
You can say slavery is part of the Bible because it is. Like, it's biblical. So there's a lot of things.
And if you disagree, send Caroline an email.
To our plugged in writer's point.
Yeah.
Roland and Cassie and Mary do something really, really mean. And I think this is what did not age well in this movie. It was this horrible fat shaming that they did of Mandy Moore.
Oh, yes. So they find an old picture of Mandy Moore when she had braces and she was younger, which to me, I didn't. And they posted all over like the computers and stuff. Mm-hmm. And to me, it just felt like a TBT. That's just a TBT. Like, own it, Mandy.
Well,
it's
I think their point was like this was recent and they had sent her to like a camp, you know, a couple years ago, and then no one knows this about her.
Yeah, that was like the era of like fat jokes were still okay. Right. And but it's interesting in this movie that's so, you know, trying to be so progressive. It's like, oh, we can still make fun of fat people.
There's weird black. If you watch even, what was it, Central Intelligence, that Dwayne Johnson movie a couple years ago, where it's like, guys, he's taking a shower in a fat suit. He's scrubbing himself. You will not believe how many of the TV shows and movies of the last, I mean, I guess forever, where the joke, the punchline is literally...
The entire joke.
It's
like
Monica,
someone doing something well.
Monica and Friends. Sure. Yeah. It's just, isn't it hilarious that this person exists? It's so...
Yeah, they exist. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's really embarrassing.
Yeah, I guess the point in, when they do it is like, look, she's such a hypocrite. She's not perfect or whatever.
Yeah, but I agree.
But it's implied that like that was imperfect at some point. You know, it's
That's also, I agree, was the part of the movie that didn't
That sucked.
Well.
I was like, oh, I really lost a lot of respect for these characters when they did this. Like, what was the point of that, you know?
Yeah.
Rise above.
In general, I think for me, this movie felt extremely episodic and like a pretty decent pilot of a really good TV show.
Ooh.
It almost felt like you could see this as like, let's set up the stage and the characters and there's this world and there's this pastor and the mom's doing this. And then let it roll out for like 13 more episodes.
But this movie became like a cult classic, right?
Kinda.
Like, did it do good in the box office?
It made double the budget. So, yeah, I mean, it was made for $5 million and it made $10 million. So I don't know. I don't know if that's doing good anymore.
Like,
but it didn't lose money.
Yeah.
So that's good.
But its reputation is kind of like iconic early 2000s.
Uh-huh. Yeah. When we started this podcast, a lot of people from the beginning asked about this movie.
Yeah. I feel like it's kind of beloved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think people hold it in low regard.
Yeah. It's maybe like Drop Dead Gorgeous and Miss Congeniality and Saved. Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, all great.
Sure.
Just killer films.
Well, let's get to our final thoughts on Saved. The way this works, Amanda, is we're going to give a thumbs up or a thumbs down in the form of a holy toast or holy roast. Holy toast, we're sending Saved, Mandy Moore, Jenna Malone, the lovely Heather Matarazzo, who's so good in this movie, sending them all the way to heaven. Heaven bound. Or holy roast, they're all going to hell. We'll start with you, Caroline.
Well, obviously, the sinners in this movie are going to hell. That just can't be helped. Oh, no, wrong one.
Oops. Oh, the elevator's broken. Yeah, baby.
My wife.
Yeah, baby.
Oh, no.
Amanda's checking her watch.
Good Lord. I would give this movie a holy toast. I'm kind of sorry I didn't see this as a teen. I think a lot of it would have been cathartic for me because even then, you know, I wasn't all about all the Christian things. I thought a lot of it was silly and dorky. So I think this would have been an interesting one for me to see and maybe a good practice in empathy of like how you could end up here and what you do when someone does make a big mistake but doesn't necessarily feel bad about it. Maybe it wasn't, you know?
Yeah.
Aside from some of the like issues of fat shaming or whatever, I would say this film is great and really funny, and the style is amazing to look at and to go back and remember, like wanting one of those ribbed cardigans that she's wearing, and just all of it. Would have loved
cardigan.
It. Yeah, and then Mandy Moore's like one tracksuit that she wears for Halloween.
It's so
that baby blue one.
Yeah, that
took me back.
That was a real number.
Yeah.
So it's a good movie and it's really funny. Like, I was enjoying it and Nate and I had a good time watching this film. So if you are a post-Christian or are at some point, I think you're going to have a good time. Or if you're not at all, I think you're going to have a good time. It's a great movie.
Holy toast from Caroline. We turn it to Amanda.
I remember loving it. And I loved it again. I watched it this afternoon, and I think I had a smile on my face the whole time. So I am holy toast all the way.
I wanted to ask you, do you remember when you were watching this, if you thought, oh, that's really what Christian, like Protestant Christian school is like?
Because we're cooler than that.
Now that I'm actually having a whole conversation about religion and all this stuff, I think I did really think that.
Yeah, like, this is what this must be. Yeah,
yeah, just because of my sister's experience. And then also, as I said, I had one Christian friend.
Sure.
It really kind of proved it.
Yeah, and I had been to like one Harvest Fest. So I definitely thought it was a play up of it. But I think at the time I thought it was like hilarious. And then now watching it, I see the message behind it. And it's something I totally get behind. Yeah. So.
Well, and I think that explains too a lot of the rationale behind the conservative panic behind this movie, because they were probably afraid of like, oh, people who aren't Christians are gonna think we're all like this, and it was like a little low key hashtag not all Christians, probably. Yeah. Where it's like no, this isn't not it. Us.
Yeah. It hit a little close to home. It got it was like obviously there was some sort of insider knowledge of Christianity behind this movie.
Totally. Yeah, like this is kind of not that far off. Like people were sent off to gay conversion camps and stuff like that. And it's pretty horrible when you really think about it.
But again,
and not effective because he ends up being a boyfriend with his roommate.
They break out and he has a boyfriend.
Awesome.
And that's one thing I do like in the movie. And again, it speaks to the writer director that even though unfortunately like body issues are a punchline unto themselves in this movie, but gay issues and sexuality issues are not. The joke isn't he's gay and it's funny.
No, it's funny how the community reacts to it.
Exactly.
Like his parents are like mourning him when they find his Honchos magazine.
Oh, I also really quickly have to say I love the scene with Mary Louise Parker in the closet when she has her little shrine and her and Jenna Malone are eating like whoopie pies or whatever. Yeah.
It was a very Gilmore Girls scene.
Yeah, this is so cozy.
Never heard of it.
It was cozy.
And I also just really quickly want to say before we get to Kevin's vote that I know I've been saying that my Christian friend... I mean, I've been debating...
You just want to make sure everyone knows she's a real bitch.
No, she was my best friend, and her family was so kind. Although one more thing that she did do is tell me that Santa Claus was not real.
Oh, no! I will say...
I like how you were trying to exonerate her, and
family,
you're like, but...
They were lovely, and still are lovely, lovely people, and so kind and generous, but they did also tell me that the Easter Bunny wasn't real.
They were Santa Claus Easter Bunny truthers, and they ruined that for you.
In the back of their station wagon.
There's a weird kind of glee.
Dropped it on the station wagon.
A weird kind of joy that exists with like a child's knowledge of knowing that
something's
because I had that. I was like, nah, these dummies believe
Santa. Oh, I did. I did that in kindergarten. I pulled in a yard aide and was like, tell her. Come on, tell her. Like, it's not true. You know it. And the yard aide was like, I don't know what you're talking about. Santa is real. And I was like, come on.
Again, you're listening to Two Christian Bullies.
Two Christian Bullies.
Well, I will give this movie a holy toast, not like a 5 out of 5 star holy toast, but maybe like a 3.5 or a 4 star
holy toast. Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, because
fair.
I think there's some things that the movie could have done better. Like
a little off here and there.
Yeah, there was like weird tonal things, but the general heart behind the movie and the message of the movie as not just exhibited by like the cool guy who's an atheist or like the one cool Christian, but like by a pluralistic representation of that. Even when cool Christian Patrick Fugit is talking to Jenna Malone in the back room, he says,
you speak for yourself. God gave us all free will. And that day at Hillary Fay's prayer circle, you weren't afraid to use it.
Like, that's even kind of like co-opting the language of Christianity to give a legitimately good compliment to someone. That's like a cool idea. And again, this is such a ripe world that I would have loved to see the TV show version of this. Or I would have loved to see
Do you guys think it could be remade?
Ooh, yeah.
Well, they did remake it as a musical in the year 2008. Yeah, but I think you could totally...
the culture is similar that you could still kind of pull it off.
I think you could do it. Like, I'm sure someone's probably right now pitching a reboot.
I wonder.
For Hulu. Like, in light of Trump's America, and we, like, make it where Mandy Moore is, like, super MAGA. And
that makes me depressed.
I know.
It might be too dark now, actually. That, I mean, that was, in a way, 2002, right, or 4. It was a more innocent time, and now it's like...
Where we had the best president ever, President Bush. Number one, with a bullet. Right, good guys? Guy. Right?
The good one.
The good one. Yeah, so, and then there was, like, weird production things where I was like, this looks cheap as hell. But overall, very funny. Gotta love that front flip. Love Cool Pastor. And I just, in general, love the heart behind the movie, and I think even if there's like little ticks and things here and there that have not aged well, in general, I think it stands the test of time. And I appreciate seeing a gay character say, I know that Jesus loves me.
Yeah.
And I think that's still a revolutionary idea for some. So I want to encourage people to watch it. But we're not the final word on this. You're the final word, dear listener. So go to @ChristianFunPod on Twitter and give it a holy roast, a holy toast, or put it in purgatory. Put it in the space between. So get out there and
Pokemon,
this is Robo Man. I know you're gonna say Robo Man.
I wasn't gonna say that.
Stop bullying me, Christian number one.
I don't have to say anything.
And we'll be right back with more good Christian fun.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Auraframes.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Auraframe.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Auraframes are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Auraframe, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun.
I thought that was a recording. That sounded so isolated.
Is this another
you
Robo
are
Man joke?
Robo Man.
01101. Wait, did I say English words just then?
Yeah, no.
Oh no. Now it's time for a segment called He's Actually a Christian. He's actually a Christian. I'm not ashamed to let you know. He's a Christian. This is a segment. I'm gonna name a celebrity, and you two are gonna tell me if you think they're a Christian or not. Based on speculation, based on the gossip, or based on things that you may or may not know, you guess whether this person is actually a Christian. So the first celebrity, Sherry Shepherd.
I love this game. Who's Sherry Shepherd?
The View, right?
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She was a co-host on The View. She played Tracy Jordan's wife on 30 Rock. She's a stand-up comedian.
Queen of Jordan.
Mm-hmm. It's my way till payday. Is Sherry Shepherd a Christian?
I love her.
Was right before the segment the best time to shove 5 almonds in your mouth?
Hey, you bring the almonds, I'm going to eat them.
That's she true. Swallowed them like pills.
She did. She did, to her credit. She's a pro.
She didn't chew. I'm going to say Christian.
Sherry Shepherd's a Christian, says Caroline.
I say 100% Christian.
100%. 100%
confident. Okay.
She's actually a Christian.
Yeah.
She
wasn't always a Protestant born again, quote unquote, Christian.
Okay.
But here's a clip of her talking about it on The Breakfast Club.
You still go to stuff? Like you go to Memorial and stuff like that?
No, I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. I'm a born again Christian. I went, God really has a sense of humor because the first church I went to, because we were taught churches are from the devil. First church I went to was a Black Pentecostal church in L.A. And I didn't know what that they were speaking in a different language. They were shouting and hollering and screaming. You know, when you're at the Kingdom Hall,
quiet.
It's very quiet. It's like from house to house,
yep.
From door to door.
Yep.
Jehovah's word we spread.
Even when somebody, it's not like a fiery preacher.
No, it's no fiery preaching. Yeah. You raise your hand. They pass the mic to you. You answer a question. It's very calm. It's very, mm-hmm. You go to a Pentecostal church. It's a, yeah.
That's Sherry Shepherd's impression of speaking in
amazing.
Tongues.
Amazing. Wow. That would be so intense if that's your first church experience, is to hear people speaking in tongues and yelling. Ooh.
I don't know that much about the Jehovah's Witness culture or anything like that.
I don't either.
But let's guess right now.
All I know is that my mom told me that she had a period in her life where she was like hunting for the right church and the right religion, mm-hmm. to go to. And she went to a Mormon church and she went to Jehovah's Witness because she had this nice friend that was Jehovah's Witness. And she said she was totally turned off by it because they were sitting in the bleachers at some convention or something. And she saw this mom like smack her kids several times.
Oh, no.
Like at the convention. And she was, you know, like a for sure JW, and so she's like, I'm never coming back here. Because pretty snap something. Judgment on the part of my yeah. mom.
She's like, they all, one of them does it, they all
yeah,
do
and
it.
Yeah, the kid smackers over there.
They're all Santa deniers.
I was like, I got spanked. What are you talking about? Like, this is a weird
she's
standard.
Like, not in public.
Yeah. Yeah, just not in the bleachers.
She didn't do it in public like my dad at Universal Studios.
Oh, no.
You can't
sad.
Bring that up. It makes me laugh.
Caroline's
so hard.
Favorite star. I should have waited until you took a sip of your chocolate milk.
I want to see Cat Dog.
I did. I wanted to see Cat Dog. And we weren't going, so I threw a tantrum. My dad spanked me.
He spanked you in front of everyone at Universal Studios.
And by the way,
Florida.
Cat Dog even had to look away. Oh, it was so brutal.
Oh, no,
he bent you over, Cat Dog.
That's a formative moment.
It is. That
definitely.
He read those James Dobson books. Next celebrity, Candace Cameron Bure. Candace Cameron Bure. You may know her as DJ Tanner.
Kirk Cameron's sister.
Kirk Cameron's sister, DJ Tanner on Full House
Christian,
and Fuller
then.
House.
Has to be Christian.
Christian?
Right? Has to be.
I'm going to say like Christian Light.
She's actually a Christian.
Oh, she is. Okay.
This is an interview with her on the 700 Club when she talks about the role that her brother played in her faith journey.
I kept thinking so highly of myself in the sense that I was a good person that I thought if the worst thing I'm doing is being intimate with my boyfriend before I'm married, that's just not that bad compared to what so many other people my age are doing.
Then, one day her brother Kirk Cameron sent her a book about the rapture of Christians called Left Behind.
Oh no.
It was being made into a movie and he had the lead role.
As I started reading this book, there was a character that stood out to me, Pastor Bruce Barnes, because in the book, at the beginning of the book, the rapture has occurred and Christ has taken all of his people, the rest have been left behind. And I thought to myself, how could a pastor be left behind? And in the book, Bruce Barnes
so
knew exactly
say.
Why he'd been left behind.
She really bought into the premise.
He told everyone, rapture. I believe everything there is to believe in the Bible. But I haven't been living it out. I'm basically using God's forgiveness as a license to live my way the way I want to.
That's when Candace started her journey of learning who God really is.
After Left Behind.
Wow, that's so funny. Kirky Cams, his Left Behind propaganda.
So at least one soul got saved from that book / movie.
That's true.
If not millions
more.
That's
his sister, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's his sister.
Okay. Well, you start at home.
You know what? I mean, I'm not into the show, but I'm glad all those girls are making it on Fuller House, and they seem to have fun with each other and be
yeah.
buddies.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that what's her name? Jodie Sweetin is
yes.
no longer an addict.
Jodie Sweetin.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
it's great.
That must be so nice, like, you know, for so long in their life, that must have been really irrelevant to them. Like, that was something I did when I was a kid, you know? Who cares anymore? It's not me. Now they're getting to have it again.
Yeah.
It's nice.
They're lucky.
What were you going to say?
Oh, I feel like there's a lot of Christianity on that set. Somehow, it just seems like.
On Full House?
Yeah.
Well, you could almost say that
the
Lord had mercy
pastors.
On all
oh,
of them.
God.
What?
That's true.
He saw them sinning. He said, cut it out.
Jeez. I want to find facts proving that the Olsons are Christian.
Proving once and for all. For a fact. All right, next celebrity, Jennifer Hudson. Former contestant on American Idol.
This one's tricky because she's been through a lot.
She's been through a lot.
She has.
So that could.
Star of Sex and the City, the movie.
She had a traumatic event.
In October 2008, Hudson stepped out of the public eye for 3 months after her mother, brother, and nephew were killed in a shooting.
Mother, brother, and nephew.
She resumed her public appearances in 2009.
How terrible.
So three family members passed away. Wow. So that was 2008.
I believe this was either right before or after her Oscar.
Well, her Oscar was in 2006.
Okay,
so
yeah, so this was after. Yeah.
And she was good in Dreamgirls.
Oh, whoa. Okay. Well,
anyway, so she had a personal tragedy. I do believe that she's a Christian.
She's a Christian? What do you say, Caroline?
Christian.
Well, at least at the time of the Oscars, she was a Christian.
Oh.
I don't know. I don't know if that trauma... I think about that in my own life. A trauma happened to me when I still have the same faith. But this is a clip of her accepting the Academy Award in 2006.
Oh. I have to just take this moment in. I cannot believe this. Look what God can do.
So,
okay.
That's look what great. God can do.
Christian, I believe it. Also, she did what she went on that Weight Watchers journey, and I don't think you can do that alone.
Listen, you gotta have faith for that.
Gotta have the Lord. It's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, that's a complicated answer then. I didn't take that into account.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's something to think about.
Especially as people's faith grows and changes and evolves over time.
So anytime you do this game, you should just Google, you know, Matthew McConaughey tragedy. Just to make sure.
Okay, here's a little one off the beaten path.
Okay.
Justin Hawkins. He's the lead singer of the band The Darkness.
Oh, wow. This would be a real shocker if he was a Christian because... something about this is ringing a bell, though. It's so obscure, I'm feeling, that he might actually be a Christian.
Justin Hawkins? Mm-hmm.
And they, The Darkness, they sing, like, I believe in a thing called...
Oh, okay.
I mean, their music is pretty clean. I mean, some of it's kind of sexy.
Yeah. Be a Christian, be sexy. Exhibits A and B.
I mean, just to mix it up, I'm going to say not Christian.
Not Christian?
Yeah.
You're going to say
this
Christian?
This is so obscure of you it's to even think Christian. Of this guy that I'm like, this is making me think, I'm going to go with Christian.
He's actually a Christian.
Wow.
Here's an updated version of their single, I Believe in a Thing Called Love.
The resurrection?
No. This is just a joke to get you to use your iPad.
I don't know what you're... No, this was a B-side that they put out
Kevin
in 2012.
Has integrity.
To be clear, the line goes...
The resurrection?
So is he a Christian or not?
He's a Christian. He believes in the resurrection.
It's right there, Amanda.
Right
I don't know
there.
What the question
this is.
This is
some sort of trick.
No, we would never trick you.
You're putting your sound effects above the truth.
Meredith Brooks, singer.
You gotta think about that in your life if you're ever putting your sound effects above your morals.
I'm worried about
sounds
that.
Sounds like my youth pastor.
I'm worried about that sound effects board.
The soundboard has become fake news.
It's tempting you.
It's your God.
I do worship it. I pray to it every night. Meredith Brooks, singer Meredith Brooks. Is she a Christian?
Who
is
this?
That a country singer?
Who are these people?
Just give me a yes or no.
You just made up that name.
No, she's a real person.
Okay, what's their big song? I can't wait for the parody. It's like she's a brick Jesus or something.
No, it's not dumb. It's really smart and funny.
Okay, yeah, she's a Christian.
She's a Christian? She's actually a Christian. Here's her big song. A little bit of everything. I'll roll into one. I'm a Christian. I'm a lover. I'm a child. I'm a mother. She got saved and redid that song.
That's so awesome.
Wow.
It's really cool how the Lord works.
It's crazy.
You could really do that with anyone, so it's a wonder why you're choosing these artists.
Hey, listen, I didn't choose them. The Lord did before the pillars of time began.
They were predestined.
And finally, Dennis Quaid. Is Dennis Quaid a Christian?
Well, he was in I Can Only Imagine.
He was.
Which is a Christian movie that just came out
He put
year.
Out a song with it, On My Way to Heaven.
Is that this year?
It came out this year.
Wow.
2018 as we're recording.
Yes, I say yes.
He's a Christian?
Yeah.
I'm well, I remember reading about this, and I remember him saying something vague to the effect of, like, I can see the value in this, you know, and I've, mm-hmm. I've gotten into it. So I'm going to say, not a Christian.
Not a Christian?
Not a real Christian.
Ooh. Manny Moore up in here, Hilary Faye. He's actually not a Christian. He was a Christian for the sake of I Can Only Imagine. But he's since came out with a new song in which he seems to be speaking against the values of that movie.
And it's in the song.
Now I'm on my way to hell. On my way to hell. I'm on my way to hell. So I can't be staying long. Isn't that messed up?
That's upsetting.
Well, he's just, yeah, he's putting it out there.
He said, I'm on my way to hell.
He's proud of it.
He wow. seems to be screaming it.
So bonkers that Dennis Quaid has a country CD.
Yeah, this is all news to me. So
oh, not a CD, just a single.
Oh, it's just a single?
Yeah,
it's just he had a whole album.
No, that's Jeff Bridges.
All those boys love to get in the studio at some point.
I love bored actors who are like, Bruce I think Willis. People need to hear my adult contemporary. Bruce Willis, Bruno, was really the forerunner Bruno. For all of this.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. God.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's been, he's actually a Christian. I'm not ashamed to let you know. He's a Christian.
I'm gonna save Dennis Quaid.
You're going to go get him?
Yeah, someone should.
Get him back to heaven?
Do you think he lives in Pasadena?
I actually do.
He seems like one of our people, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, does.
I don't mean
does.
Christians. I mean Pasadena people.
Yeah.
I like Dennis Quaid. He's
I great. Like him, too.
Yeah.
I hope he's doing good.
I hope he's okay.
But now it's time to enter into a holy space.
Sexy space.
A sexy, sexy space.
No, this is a worshipful space.
Mm-hmm.
A meditative space.
Mm-hmm.
Prayerful.
Very prayerful. Amanda, you may have gone on other podcasts and promoted your own projects and plugged your own social media handles. We're not here to do that. We're here to give it up as a sweet sacrifice. We're filled with Christ's love, much like Hilary Faye. We're here to lift up those things. And by those things, I mean lift up our social media handles, our projects that we're working on, and even things we're enjoying in secular culture.
Mm-hmm.
If you can, with all the liberal propaganda out there.
Yeah, you gotta wade through some stuff.
Oh, boy.
Jeez.
Caroline, we start with you.
Well, Kevin, thank you. You can lift me up at Caroline's Farts on Twitter and Instagram. That's where I'm online. Gosh, I don't think I have anything pop culture-wise to lift up this week. So I'll lift up Earios and what you guys are starting. They're starting a women-run podcast network. I think the only of its kind.
There might be some other ones out there, but
there might
not
be.
A lot.
But not on a large scale.
Feral Audio was very woman-centric, but in a bad way.
and I think that's great. So I'll lift you guys up. Go support their Kickstarter.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Amanda, we turn it to you.
Yes, thank
you. And any podcast networks you want to turn on.
I'm at Amanda Funbuns across social media platforms.
What a great handle.
You're big thank on you. Facebook, right?
I'm huge on Facebook.
What does that mean in 2018?
No, my posts don't do well on Facebook anymore. Something's changed because I'll post something and it used to get hundreds of likes and now it's maybe 10.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's my cross to bear.
Do you want prayer for that?
Could you guys please?
Yeah,
we can.
Absolutely.
Put your hands on me. Or?
We'll lay hands on those likes.
Oh, lay hands on my likes.
Lay hands on those thumbs
we'll
up.
We'll mobilize the Christian network toward your page and you'll get so many likes.
So great.
So many prayerful hands.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And as far as secular pop culture goes, I mean, I loved the show Killing Eve.
K.A.
Have you guys seen that?
No.
This is just a little tip if you're looking for something to binge. It's Sandra Oh. It's about a female assassin.
Ooh.
It's a fabulous show. It's really fun. And I think it's BBC or something, so you might have to buy it. But
I know. I'm waiting for that sweet Hulu drop in November.
I know. Oh, okay. Is it coming in November? Okay, mm-hmm. We'll mark your calendars, guys, because it's a good.
Ooh.
It's a really good.
Okay, I'm going to watch it.
Otherwise, just check out The Big Ones and The Complete Woman. And yeah,
The Complete Woman is such a funny, I love the production on it, the music, it's so, so good.
Thank you. And do you guys have any listeners in the UK?
We have some in New Zealand and the UK.
Yeah, well, the Complete Woman's going to the London Podcast Festival in September, so.
Oh, go check her out, guys.
Yeah, look it up.
Hey, Govna's out there, go check her out.
Thank you.
No, you can't, don't.
No, that was perfect, they're gonna love it.
Oi, go over there, stop sweeping your chimney and go to the...
Okay, do yours.
Mine was perfect.
Okay.
Yeah, you gotta sprinkle that stuff in. Yeah,
it's a salt, sure. Not a meal. All right, the big ones, great podcast.
Yes.
You can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter everywhere. I don't know how I'm doing on Facebook versus Twitter versus Instagram. I'm thinking of deleting Facebook altogether.
You should.
But I'm afraid to. And isn't that what's messed up?
Mm-hmm. I know, I would, but I can't. It's part of my job. So I can't.
Well, you literally can't run a page unless you have a personal account.
Yeah. Well, actually, I think they changed that now. You can have a business account.
Oh, okay, then I'm deleting mine.
Yeah, you should.
Friend me while you can. I'll lift up 8th grade.
Oh, I want to see it.
Maybe the best movie of the year.
Wow.
Maybe.
Bold. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I cried for 90 minutes straight.
Wow, really? You were crying that much?
And again, Bo Burnham wrote and directed it. He doesn't have daughters. How did he know how to care about a girl?
Yeah, how did he find something?
He's not as a father of daughters. It's very strange. I didn't understand that part of it at all. But he did. He did somehow. And you can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. And you can check out our Spotify Good Christian Fun playlist where you can find every song featured on the show. If you leave us a review on iTunes/Apple Podcasts, we donate $1 to charity. This month's charity is the Trevor Project.
Yes.
To combat any...
focus on the family misdeeds that we've done.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and Truly, because it's a great organization. But so if you leave a review, not only supports us, but you're going to be sending $1 to the Trevor Project via me and Kevin, mm-hmm. our real bank accounts.
And we really keep track of it every month.
We really do.
We really do.
Yeah, but the Trevor Project is like a suicide prevention hotline for LGBT youth, and beyond that, they do education, they're support, they're a great organization, they're really well run. So.
And if you want a second helping of, you know what feels really gross is pivoting from a charity into our Patreon page.
We're kind of a charity case in some way.
Oh my gosh. You know what else is great?
You know what you should really put your money on?
As important as the Trevor Project? Good grief. Prioritize them over us, but if you got a few bucks, you can go to patreon.com/goodchristianfun, get a second helping of Good Christian Fun. Every week, every Friday, we put out a second service of
Good
Christian
Fun.
What's up on
this week?
This week, we might be getting into a, let's just say a sticky situation.
Yes, with our small animated friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our small animated friend, Colby the Christian Robot. Amanda, thank you so much
for
joining
us.
This was a delight, you guys.
Oh, good.
What a delight you were.
Overwhelming.
Pasadena Pal for life.
Yeah. This is anytime after dinner, I'll head over.
Yeah, I mean, have your steak. Let us know when the steak hour always 6.
Yeah, okay, every night at 6, I dive into a steak.
Okay,
bring
great.
Your antisocial cat to hang out with Caroline's antisocial cat.
It.
It's a party.
Yeah,
I love it.
There's nothing else left to say except for, and all of Pot's people said,
Amen.
What song should we go out with?
Mandy.
We should go out with a Mandy?
Oh, yes.
Not anything Mandy.
Anything Mandy. What do you think her number one most streamed song is on Spotify?
Probably Only Hope.
Or Candy.
Or something from Tangled.
Tangled. It has to be.
It's Tangled, friends. It is I See the Light.
Oh, beautiful.
Oh, gorgeous. Tangled. She was a great cast.
Which I believe my buddy walked down the aisle to. Two friends of ours performed
really?
It. A husband and wife singing duo performed this at his...
That's cute.
It's
that's
really
real
good.
Sweet.
And actually, he's the... shout out to him if he's listening. One of the sweetest men I've ever known. The minute he sees his wife, tears just shooting out of his eyes. And he grabbed his heart. And he just like started crying. She started crying. So imagine that while you listen to this song. And imagine me heavily breathing while taking a video of it. Oh, that's sweet.
And we're having some tears of his own.
And we see you next week. Bye.
And it's like the fog has lifted and it lies.
1, 2, 3. Well, my name's Kevin Porter, and I'm here to say, next week on GCF, we're listening to Lecrae. Specifically the album All Things Work Together.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.